I love that they're so over the top, and then it's like you mentioned to me the other day, you're like, why? What's with the Hanna-Barbera sound effects? Yeah, why are there Hanna-Barbera sound effects in telenovelas? I don't know.
Were we supposed to be talking about gay unicorn ass or something?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to SassyCast 2.0. We're not going to call it that. We're just going to call it SassyCast, but for this one episode, I'm calling it simply SassyCast 2.0. The reason I'm calling it 2.0 is because we are pretty much starting fresh from scratch. The original place that we've been holding our show, well, not the original, because Mevio cut ties with us. However, the place where we were currently hosting the show has went out of business, basically. So we decided to look at this as a way to just kind of relaunch the show. And that's exactly what we're doing. So welcome to the official relaunch of SassyCast. Unfortunately, we've lost a lot of stuff. However, there is one thing that we did save, and I'll get to that in just a moment. Just kind of wanted to briefly let you know what's going to go on with this show. The show is now going to go to a once-a-month podcast, which will hopefully be able to be downloaded off of iTunes if you have iTunes and use that for listening to your podcast. And, I mean, with the new location that we're at, which is Podomatic, I do believe they have the ability to have this show downloaded onto iTunes. So if we do get that link, that feed, we'll let you know. And again, like we said, it's going to be a once-a-month show. We're going to be incorporating Cindy and Mike Moore into the show. Probably not going to hear a lot of driving in the car episodes anymore, so I do apologize about that. And plus also a lot of exclusive content on the SassyCast Facebook page. So if you have not liked us on Facebook yet, you need to do so because you'll be missing out on a lot, especially a lot of the upcoming video stuff that we plan on doing. So Anyway, just wanted to say thank you to everybody who has been following SassyCast and us jumping all around the internet all these years. And as a way of saying thank you, we're going to play a segment from an episode which has become our most talked about episode ever. It's a little story about a unicorn named Colonel Peaches. Here is the moment which almost caused someone, I'm not exaggerating, one of our listeners almost died because he almost ran off the road and crashed because he was laughing so hard. So don't listen to this while driving. But here is our most talked about moment ever on the show. So enjoy.
He writes a bunch of books that he calls Tinglers. And...
Oh, yeah.
And honestly...
What's wrong with people on the internet? What is wrong?
He likes to focus on unicorns and dinosaurs, and once in a while he'll branch away and do something like an airplane or something else. He's dabbled in sea life.
Mm-hmm.
The airplane one, just I'm like, oh no. There's three stories by him I've read so far. The three stories by him that I have read are... Let me bring up the library here.
Chuck Tingle and the Lurchin' Urchin?
No. I've read...
You better have read Space Raptor Butt Invasion, not, or I'm going to be very upset.
Not yet. I have not gotten to that one yet. I have read Pounded by President Bigfoot. I've downloaded, but I have yet to read Pounded by the Gay Unicorn Football Squad.
Absurdist porn is really a new field for me. And I don't know how I feel about it.
The thing with Tinglers, I've noticed, is that he's trying to cram as much backstory as he can in one paragraph before getting to the fucking.
Well, don't we all?
And it's like there's moments that happen in the story that just happen, and it's like The Room, it's plot stuff that just gets dropped just so they could get to the fucking.
Oh, does the unicorn colonel have cancer?
No.
Oh.
Cancer of the ass!
Cancer of the ass!
I have horn cancer.
So,
of course you do. That's what happens when you're a gay unicorn from the Civil War.
Yes.
Exactly. All the unicorns died of ass cancer.
Yeah, it wasn't the fact that they didn't.
Sixth grade.
It wasn't the fact that they didn't make it onto Noah's Ark. They all died of ass cancer.
Horny ass cancer.
Yes.
So. Yeah.
Please continue.
So for Valentine's Day, I'm giving this quote-unquote treat to our listeners by reading one of Chuck Tingle's books. And when I read this one, I went, okay, I have to share this with the world. Mm-hmm. And this is, My Ass is Haunted by the Gay Unicorn Colonel.
Mm-hmm. I've heard you say this, like, title like 16 times and it still hurts.
It's a wonderful title. It still hurts.
No, it's not.
All right, here we go.
I love the fact that you wanted me to pimp my novel out with this.
Well, because
this is not going to get me sales. No one's going to buy my book.
Okay,
well, it's probably like that gay unicorn ass raping thing. I will
preface right now. Cindy's book is not like what you're about to hear right now.
They're not going to believe you.
Hers has dragons.
Hers has no ass rape either.
Hers is written from a female point of view. This one's written from
No haunted asses in my book.
Exactly. There's no haunted butts, and there's no unicorn dick. So
there it is.
What's the point then?
All right.
I don't know, which is why I'm like, why do you want me to pimp my book out on a gay podcast, guys?
Because you never know. Pussy. There might be people who want to read about the dragon dick. So
a lot of pussy.
All right, here we go.
My feet are cold.
We can't go on there. Your feet are cold.
Yes.
I got to get my slippers.
He has no shoes.
He has no shoes.
I got my slippers on now. I can go ahead and do my crosswords.
Oh my god!
I forgot how much like a fever dream it is being.
He He just turned into Linda from Bob's Burgers.
Hey, oh, such a pretty tree. I love my tree.
According to my roommate, I am the embodiment of Linda from Bob's Burgers.
All right, are we ready for this, folks?
If we can do this legally, go for it.
As I approach the old plantation house, my body fills with a strange sensation. It's a feeling that's not entirely new to me, but it is also one strictly reserved for occasions of extreme tension and caution. To call this emotion fear is flat out incorrect. It is not fear, but something even deeper and more subliminal.
Yeah.
This feeling is the remnant of a long forgotten instinct. One that taps deep into my mind and then connects itself into some other world, some other plane of existence.
You know what the funny part is? This isn't badly written.
it's not good either.
And then, just like that, the feeling disappears. A chill runs down my spine as I look up the windows of the old mansion, framed perfectly between the two large weeping willows here in the deep forest of northern Georgia. For a moment, I catch a glimpse of someone standing in the window of a second-story bedroom. A unicorn, with a long white mane and a large pearly white horn. The majestic beast moves out of the way as soon as I see him, letting the curtain fall back into its place.
What the fuck?
Hello there, the voice of an elderly woman suddenly calls out from the front porch. Welcome to the Blue Bayou Bed and Breakfast. I smile and I wave as my gaze falls upon the small old lady with her casual summer wear, hurrying down the steps to greet me.
Wait a minute. Hold up.
Please tell me someone's in a like a hoop skirt somewhere, and you know.
Okay, I'm just trying to figure out how she's already on the porch when she runs down the steps. How do you hurry down two steps? Oh well, go on, please.
I love the fact that it's named after my favorite restaurant at Disneyland.
Blue Bayou Ben, the BBB&B.
So anyway, when I booked my room, I had no idea I would be receiving such a warm welcome, and it's a pleasant relief from the usual indifference that I get from places like this. Get in, pay us, get out is usually the motto, especially when the ghost sightings have reached a level of notoriety that turns an establishment into less of a bed and breakfast and more of a tourist trap.
Mm-hmm.
You must be Roger, the old lady says, taking one of my bags.
Oh, this is a guy?
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was from a female's perspective. I'm sorry.
No, because he's the gay unicorn corner. Oh, yeah. I think he's interested in Halloween.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I thought this was from a girl.
Silly you.
You must be Roger, the old woman says, taking one of the bags. I'm Melody. Nice to meet you. Come right along this way.
Her name is Melody.
Of course. Every woman in Georgia's name Melody, didn't you
Melody,
know that?
Melanie, or Scarlet.
Yes. It all happens too fast. By the way, he spelled two wrong. He spelled two T-O, not T-O-O. It all happens too fast that I barely have time to protest. Oh, come on now, I'll carry my bags up, I tell her, legitimately worried that she's about to break a bone simply hoisting up my leather weekender.
Well, don't we all? I mean, really.
Don't be silly, Melody creaks in her
I've had weekends like that.
Don't be silly, Melody creaks in her own cheerful way. You're my guest. I so rarely get guests anymore.
Well, you got haunting unicorns all over the fucking place.
What is happening?
I sigh and follow her up the front porch and into the house. I thought people were coming from all over the world to catch a glimpse of Colonel Peach's ghost. Shouldn't that bring me in some business? I love the fact that the ghost name is Colonel Peach.
Colonel Peach.
Well, you know, that's the color of his cock, because that's the color of uniform cock, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much it right there.
Oh, it did for a while. Yes. Oh, it did for a while, Melody tells me, placing my bag on the entryway and then leading me into the dining room.
You're slowly getting more southern as you read this.
I know.
But it seems like people aren't interested in history like they used to be.
Well, you know, he is a Confederate unicorn colonel, so yes. It's understandable that you'd be talking in his southern accent.
Nobody cares about an old Civil War spirit, I guess.
Yeah, no one cares. They just base role-playing games and movies about them. No one cares.
As I round the corner of the dining room, I'm immediately hit with the pleasant aroma of savory, delicious
cock.
Food.
I'm sorry.
Food.
Sorry.
There are two...
Dude, there's going to be like 15 more pages of this.
There are two places set at the end of the table, one for Melody and one for me, and an entire assortment of roasted vegetables, grilled meats, and a cauldron of soup in the middle.
That would be the unicorn meat.
Oh my God, I gasp in astonishment.
Oh my, no, honey, say it right. Okay. Oh my God.
Okay. Oh my God, I gasp in astonishment.
Oh my God.
You can't be serious. It looks incredible.
Wow, I need
cheddar biscuits.
Wow.
Well, I figured you probably had a long journey today, so I figured I'd whip up some dinner, Melody explained. It's just the two of us tonight, but I reckon that I might as well, if I'm going through the trouble cooking, I might as well do it right. Melody sits down in her chair, and I follow suit, smiling graciously as she dishes up some of the creamy soup into a bowl and hands it to me. Even if I don't see any Colonel Ghosts this trip, this is still one heck of a bed and breakfast. Can I ask, I start, if it's just the two of us, then who is that unicorn upstairs when I drove in?
I like how there was like random, who's that unicorn? I'm like, holy fuck, there's a unicorn upstairs.
I'd be like, unicorn? We got the vapors now, don't we? I think you've been hitting the mint juleps too much.
That will happen, you know. Unicorns upstairs.
Upstairs.
Go in your underwear drawer.
Upstairs? Melody asked, slightly confused.
Well, she didn't know they had upstairs.
Yeah, he was staring down at me from the far left window, I explained.
Well, were you expecting it to be downstairs in the kitchen?
Melody freezes as she hears this, a smile slowly creeping across her wrinkled old face.
Oh, that's horrible.
A unicorn, you say? I nod, not quite seeing what the big deal is at this point. Melody sits in silence for just a moment longer and then stands up. Dinner can wait for just a moment. I think you'll want to see this. The elderly woman leaves the dining room and heads back across the hall to what appears to be the main living quarters.
And takes off her chemise. Let me take up all these hoop skirts real quick.
You could not have sex in the Victorian era, like fast sex.
No.
Oh, fiddly-dee.
You had to, like, it would take, like, you know, hours to undress.
There's two sofas, a fireplace, a mantle, and hanging above it is a massive oil painting. I follow Melody, but the second that I lay my eyes upon the strange portrait, I stop, gazing up in wonder at the incredible sight that suspends before me. There, in the thick strokes of vivid color, sits a familiar face, one that I recognize almost immediately. It is the unicorn that I spotted in the window upstairs. The creature looks absolutely regal, sitting atop a horse, with the wind blowing through...
Was another horse!
With the wind blowing through his sparkling unicorn mane. I just want to pause for a moment to point out the fact that the unicorn is sitting on top of a horse.
There's a horse sitting on top of a horse.
Yes. He's wearing a dark uniform and carrying a flag that waves in the wind behind him. Is that the unicorn you saw in the window, Melody asks? I nod.
Let me say it.
Okay.
Why, is that the unicorn you saw in the window?
I nod.
Wow, that's Colonel Peach. Wow, he's been dead since the Civil War.
Oh, my God.
The old woman informs me. This information is almost too shocking to comprehend.
No shit, Sherlock.
A revelation so strange that I have to silently repeat it back to myself over and over again until finally it clicks. I've just seen the ghost with my very own eyes. Melody is kind enough to let me stay in the Colonel's old chambers tonight, which is precisely the room that I saw his single-horned ghost just hours earlier. The room is slightly chilly but beautifully arranged, featuring heavy oak furniture that has probably been here since the manor was built all those years ago. The room itself gives me the same spooky feeling that I got upon arrival at these haunted grounds, an eerie kind of presence that seems to be lurking within each and every shadow.
That would be probably the ghost.
As it grows later, the silver moonlight begins to stretch longer into the room. I'm lying in bed, reading quietly over some recently published papers on the paranormal. Suddenly I jump, a loud knock against the hardwood floors drawing my attention to the closed bedroom door before me.
Hello?
I call out.
Miss Melody?
Please tell me that you're going to do the narration.
I'll do the narration.
You're going to do the narration.
All the voices.
Hello?
I call out.
Miss Melody?
This particular room has not yet been retrofitted for modern electricity, so I'm reading by candlelight. I glance over at the tiny flame as the tiny flame flickers and struggles to stay alive, fighting against some strange cold wind as it gusts through the room with supernatural speed. There is no response to my inquisitive call, but as I listen closely, I can faintly hear what appears to be the wild cries of a Civil War battle. The sounds echoing within my ears.
It's like, ka-ka, ka-ka, ka-ka.
I can hear the clap of muskets firing and the shouting of battle commands. A bungle rings out over the sound of
a bunghole?
A bungle.
Oh.
A bungle.
B-U-N-G-L, dear. Bungle.
Don't they mean bugle?
No, it says bungle. Okay. So I guess they mean bugle, actually. So here's another typo.
Who fucking knows?
Rings out over the sound of thundering hooves as soldiers ride into battle. It's an utterly frightening illusion in its stark realness and can only be perceived as false because it simply makes no sense.
Well, the first decent thing to have been said so far.
My heart's pounding within my chest. I watch as the doorknob to my bedroom begin to turn slowly. There is a loud metallic click, and then moments later the door itself starts to open as a dark figure emerges.
You called?
Comes the voice of Melody. I let out
your Melody voice, actually.
I let out a massive sigh of both relief and, of course, disappointment. I'm here to see a ghost, after all.
Did you hear that?
I stammered.
Hear what?
Melody asks.
All that fighting, those war sounds.
I continue. Melody just shakes her head.
Why, no, I'm afraid I didn't, but it sounds like you living and being in this room has spooked you quite a bit. Are you sure you don't want me to put you somewhere else?
I think he does some voices about it.
Oh, no.
I tell the caring elderly woman.
I'm here to see the colonel, and this seems like the best place to do it.
Melody turns around and then stops for a moment, hesitating. She turns back around.
Well, Roger, why is it that you're so interested in seeing the spirits for yourself?
Now here comes the Newbery Award-winning moment of this book.
Okay.
I take a deep breath, closing my book and setting it down on the bedside table next to me.
Well, long ago, when I was a 19-year-old fresh out of school, I took a trip to Spain. It was incredible. The food, the men's.
I tell her, letting Melanie in on a subtle hint about my sexuality in case she didn't already notice.
Anyway, I was there for a month, and during that time, I met a beautiful white unicorn named Paulo.
Paulo?
Paulo.
Oh, you know what? White unicorns don't have that name. Name would be like Walter.
Or Peaches.
Or Peaches.
Peaches.
Or Travis. Or something like that.
He was so handsome and so good to me. I rode around the city on his back all day, and in the evenings, Paula would take me back to his flat and we would make love.
Melody. Ow! Melody gets a faint little twinkle in her eye.
Oh, well, that sounds very sweet.
I nod.
Oh, it was. Back in those days, unicorns and human relationships were looked down upon. But we didn't care. When Paulo and me were together, it was like we could take on anything. Change the world. I threw the snap in there myself. I don't know if you believe in soulmates, Miss Melody. But I can assure you, they be real. Oh, I believe.
Melody says, smiling to herself.
I believe.
Well, then I guess you know what I'm talking about. I guess you know what it's like to lose your soulmate as well.
I said, tearing up a bit.
You see, Paulo the unicorn was hoof-hearted. Hold on, let this... I gotta read this ahead of time.
I got nothing. I can't believe the story's still going on and we haven't even gotten to this, like... The
sex part. Yeah, no.
I'm getting a little antsy here.
You see, Paulo the unicorn was hoof-hearted, meaning that his heart was the size of a hoof. Much too small for a unicorn of his size. I don't know. I didn't know at the time that he only had a few weeks left to live.
What?
As I say this, Melody places her hand over her heart, hurting for me as I remember my long-lost lover.
After Paulo passed away...
I continue.
I've been obsessed with the afterlife. I just want to know if he's still out there somewhere, my handsome Spanish unicorn. Well, I'm sure he's out there,
Melody assured me,
looking down on you.
We stand in silence for a moment before Melody nods and backs out into the hallway.
And screams, running away! Over the cotton patches.
Oh, Lord, I'm going to be here for hours. There's a lot of setup to this. I'm actually quite surprised. I figured he would just go into a room and he'd be like, I'm the gay unicorn colonel, bend over.
Oh, no, he's got backstory and shit going on here. And I love the concept of the disease called hoof-hearted.
He's not a bad writer.
Wait till we get to the sex. She.
I'm sure it'll be interesting. If it's interesting, then that's not bad.
She closes the door quietly behind her. I grab my book off of the bedside table and start to read again. I only make it a few sentences in before the words start to blur together in a meaningless mess.
We're there too, baby.
Getting emotional about Paulo, my unicorn lover, has made me tired, and before I know it, I find myself drifting off to sleep. I'm not sure how long I've been out when I awaken, but I sit up abruptly and suck in a huge gasp of air. My book, which has been resting on my lap, falls to the floor next to the bed with a light thump as I attempt to figure out exactly what it was that startled me awake so abruptly. Faintly, I can hear my own name drifting through the night air. It sounds as though it's coming from right outside my window. Emanating from somewhere in the front yard of the spooky old manor. Cautiously, I climb to my feet and tiptoe over to the window, looking out onto the moon-soaked lawn. My breath catches in my throat. There before me, in all of his majestic unicorn ghost glory, is Colonel Peaches. The unicorn colonel sits atop his powerful steed in full uniform, looking up at me as I gaze down at him. He's just as handsome.
Wait, hold on.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I get it. He's on the balcony looking down, I guess?
Yes.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Okay.
He's just as handsome as the painting that hangs downstairs. And despite my best efforts, I am almost immediately find myself just as aroused as I am afraid. The sound of my own name still echoes through the trees.
Roger.
And that's how it's written, actually.
Wow.
It's as if the unicorn colonel is begging me to run down to him and let him pick me up in his big, strong ghost arms. Compelled by some supernatural force, I turn away from the window, ready to sprint down to the colonel to give myself to him, but he's here with me.
There's a unicorn.
I stop abruptly, shocked as I discover that the ghost has somehow instantly appeared within my room, no more than 5 feet away. It's because he's a fucking ghost. Now that I'm this...
Oh, you say that as if, like, this whole thing's so logical that you would think that.
Now that I am...
The gay unicorn colonel.
Yes. Now that I am this close, I can see that the colonel's body is slightly transparent, shimmering faintly as it sparkles with strange unicorn magic.
No, he's a ghost!
I can also see now how incredibly handsome this beast is, from his pearly horn to his heavy hooves, which poke out from the pants of his beautiful Civil War uniform. That's just a fantastic mental image right there.
God.
Of a unicorn wearing a Civil War uniform with the hooves sticking out from the pant legs.
Got nothing.
Wow. Roger?
The unicorn colonel says.
I have come here to deliver a message from the beyond. I have come to bring you a message from Paulo.
The sound of my dead lover's name causes my heart to skip a beat.
What is it? What is it?
I stammer.
Tell me.
As I say the words...
Oh my God!
As I say the words... As I say the words, I can feel a slight tingling begin deep within my ass. In a place that...
That was this crappy-ass soup he had earlier.
In a place that only Paulo could reach with his... God, I can't even read this without laughing. I can feel a slight tingling begin deep within my ass, in a place that only Paulo could reach with his massive unicorn cock.
Or it could be worms. Yeah. He could have horse worms.
Yes. In this moment, I realize that Paulo's spirit is inside of me, haunting my ass.
Well, where else would he be?
Paulo has a message from the beyond.
The unicorn colonel tells me.
A message of power and of... Oh, hold on. A message of passion and fire. A passion. A message of love.
A message of love.
Yes.
I can feel it.
I admit.
I can feel it deep inside my butt.
Deep inside my butt?
I can feel it deep inside my butt.
The unicorn
colonel. Wow.
He's poking me in my biscuits.
He's buttering my popcorn.
Oh my goodness.
The unicorn colonel nods.
Hold on.
Oh, wow.
Stupid.
We haven't even gotten to the sex part.
No, we haven't.
I'm like, wow, I don't know how this can get any better.
The unicorn colonel nods.
Yes, but he's always been there, haunting your ass, while you worked, slept, even cried.
You mean, he was there all along?
I repeat. The unicorn colonel nods.
Even though he's not powerful enough yet to manifest himself in physical form, he wanted me to pleasure you the same way that he cannot.
So how can this asshole... be a ghost and Paulo
We'll find out.
It's a whole Patrick Swayze Demi Moore kind of push the picture off the shelf kind of thing.
I'm pretty sure that Colonel Peaches is blowing smoke up his ass so he can get some.
Well, there's no room over there with all the terror biscuits and the unicorn horn.
So many people haunting that ass. That's
the problem. Exactly.
There's like 16 people up there.
I want to see what Roger looks like. All these ass people want his.
Yeah, I want to know. He better be good looking.
Roger's ass is a bag of holding from the world of Harry Potter.
He better be the love child of Mr. George Clooney and Antonio Banderas.
See, I get this
image. Like a horse.
So, see, I've got this image that Roger's ass is like Mary Poppins' carpet bag.
Probably
it just looks small, but you reach inside, you start pulling out all sorts of stuff.
Well, why not?
And then circus music play.
Yes.
It is the South.
At first, I'm not exactly sure what Colonel Peach is saying. The strange invitation... The strange invitation bouncing off my brain a few times before finally sinking in. When I realize what he's getting at, however, I can't help but being overwhelmed with a powerful arousal that immediately floods into my veins.
You mean, Paulo wants us to fuck?
I said, my voice trembling.
Oh, wait, hold on.
You mean, Paulo wants us to fuck?
I said, my voice trembling.
There you go. I wasn't trembling.
There you go.
I wasn't trembling.
Oh my God.
He wants to give you pleasure.
Said the Colonel Peach.
And right now, this is the best way for him to do that.
I close my eyes and try to grapple with the idea of giving myself to a lover other than Paulo.
Oh, bitch, please. You have had several since.
Since Paulo's death, I haven't slept with a single soul.
You liar!
Filth
and lies.
Unicorn or otherwise.
Filth and lies.
And the idea alone seems daunting. Still, just the suggestion has gotten me so worked up, my dick rock hard within my boxer briefs and just begging to be unleashed. Besides, this is what Paulo wants for me.
Clearly.
I swallow hard and then step forward so I'm just inches away from the ghostly unicorn.
I want you.
I said, letting my hand drift lower and lower until it reaches Colonel Peach's belt buckle, which I unclasp.
I want you to.
The handsome dead unicorn says, finally giving in. Here we go, folks. I undo his belt and then slowly unzip the colonel's pants. Keep in mind, these are on a unicorn. Which reveals no Civil War era underpants underneath. Instead...
That's red flag number one, bitch.
Instead, I'm greeted by the sight of his beautiful throbbing member, which springs forth from the fabric as soon as I let it. The Colonel Peach's rock is as hard as a rock and aching to be touched, his enormous unicorn cock jutting fiercely out towards me.
I like how he describes it like he's seen one before.
Yes.
Like we should all know what a unicorn penis should look like.
I smile.
Is it Beanie? Is it Furry? I mean, what's going on here? Rainbows?
I smile and slowly drop down into a squat before the beast, so that his shaft is pointing directly at my chiseled face, and then look up at him with my soulful gay eyes.
Soulful gay eyes?
Yes.
How do you have gay eyes?
Oh, now, come on.
Oh, Cindy, you grew up with me!
It just seems like, you know, a weird description. Just like, I stared up with my heterosexual female eyes.
Well, Cindy, you and I both know Evan. That's gay eyes right there.
Is it like a term? Like, stop giving me the gay eyes, Roy.
Is it like Swayze's hungry eyes? Because I just had some lasagna tonight. Let me tell you, I had some hungry eyes going on.
Yes.
Don't make me get gay on you.
I'll take you in a curved disguise.
All right, here we go. Ready?
Do you want me to suck you off?
I asked playfully.
Really can't take it seriously with that voice.
Hold on. Do you want me to suck you off?
I ask playfully.
Hey, do you want me to suck you off?
For Paolo.
Are you sure we're not going to get in trouble for copyright? Reading this out loud.
We're not. The unicorn colonel doesn't answer. Silent for
of course not.
Silent for a moment as he takes me in with his eerie ghostly presence. He seems just as fascinated by me as I am of him.
I said, do you want me to suck off that big fat unicorn cock of yours?
I repeat.
I really like your Roger voice. I think it's the best part of this.
Finally, Colonel Peach breaks his silence, the single word barely making it out of his gently parted lips alive.
Yes.
Okay.
With that, I open wide and engulf Colonel Peach's cock with my mouth, pushing my head down along the length of his shaft until I reach the edge of my gag reflex.
Tale as old as time.
I close... Close my eyes and focus, relaxing my body until finally I feel comfortable going even deeper.
I wouldn't go any further on this than just let's just skip over the sex.
Really uncomfortable. My God.
Eventually, I reach the base of his shaft with my lips, my face pushed right up against Colonel Peach's hard unicorn abs.
We're going to lose another podcast website. I know we are.
We are. You are totally you're destroying us. You're destroying us again. I'm back, and you already destroyed us.
As he fills my throat entirely, the creature lets out a long, satisfying moan.
I think we can finish this.
Super
done.
Oh, I want to hear what Miss Maybelline has to say. What was it again?
We haven't even had penetration yet.
I know. His entire body shaking from my masterful deep throat. I can feel the colonel's breath.
I've heard that before.
I can feel the colonel's hoof hands pressed gently on the back of my head.
Hoof hands? That's not gentle.
That would shave. And yeah, just flop, flop, like when he touches them, it's like pop, pop, pop.
Gently on the back of my head and holds me there, hesitating, as if he's still not entirely sure he wants to commit to this favor for a ghostly friend. But the ship has already sailed. And as I reach up to begin to play with the beast's hanging balls that rest against my chin, the feeling is just...
They're pressed tenderly against his chin.
Wait a minute. Does this guy know how long a horse's dick is? You cannot reach his balls from the tip of his dick. It's a good, like, 3 or 4 feet.
Maybe he's got really long arms.
Maybe he's got a really long chin. Maybe he's got a really long esophagus.
He has a really long chin.
Yes. Well, he said it's a chiseled face, so, you know.
Well, yeah, he's got a horse hoof hand on.
He's got Jay Leno chin.
Yes, he does.
He starts to pump me up and down his shaft, slowly at first and then gaining speed as the waves of pleasure start to overwhelm him.
Wow.
I look up at the colonel and we lock eyes, his cock planted firmly in my throat. I can't help but give a playful little wink, and suddenly he's over the edge completely. A crazed look of sexual passion overwhelming his expression as he rocks his hips against me. I slowly put...
I'm really weird about first-person erotica in a lot of ways. I've read some really good stuff, but when it's bad, you just feel uncomfortable.
I heard this was the original story treatment for National Velvet.
This is the deleted scene from Equus.
Oh, no. No.
Wow. Oh, no, no. 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 Mr. Colonel Peaches is no here. No.
I slowly pull his unicorn pants farther and farther down until he's able to step out of them.
Awkwardly.
Releasing Colonel Peach from my mouth, I stand up and give him a deep kiss.
Lie down on the bed,
I instruct.
Oh my god, lie down on the bed.
The unicorn ghost starts to protest slightly, but I'm firm with my instructions. I grab his...
With his instructions. He's firm.
I grab his hoof in my hand and then force it down the front of my boxer shorts, letting him feel the hard thickness of my massive rod. Chris can't.
Hold on. Oh, I'm going
to. This just seems kind of like acrobatic. Like, how are you getting in? Did they ever have sex before?
Oh my god.
I'm trying to figure out how he thinks that the horse can get into the bed without breaking it.
Maybe it's a miniature horse. Maybe he's like a Shetland pony.
Aww.
I'm just saying.
Do you want this dick?
I ask plainly.
I can't.
The colonel explains.
I'm a unicorn. I'll break it. Me and Paolo used to fuck on our bed all the time.
I tell him.
So that's what we're going to do.
The unicorn understands, and moments later he removes his uniform completely and climbs up on the massive oak bed, which creaks under the weight of his massive unicorn body.
You look... Good.
I coo, egging the beast on. Finding his
coos.
I've never cooed
with a man in bed.
You know who coos? Pigeon.
Thank
so
you.
So make it Roger the Pigeon.
That's the next book.
I fucked Roger the Pigeon. That's the next book.
Yeah.
Cooing for pigeon cock.
Yes.
Finding his confidence, Colonel Peach sprawled out on his bed before me, his cock hard and standing at full attention. It's much longer and thicker than I had even realized when it was engulfed within my mouth. And now that I can fully inspect the translucent ghostly shaft's incredible size, I'm even more impressed.
Not really.
I slowly strut across the hard... here we go. I slowly strut across the hardwood floors.
Like Sheena Easton.
I thought he was on the bed. Am I wrong?
I thought he was too. Towards Colonel Peach, enjoying the way that his eyes flicker and dance across my ripped, muscular body.
I'm strutting like Sheena Easton, everybody.
I just get an image of Roger from American Dad walking sexy.
I'm Sheena Easton, strutting
for I would love to hear the music playing, just yeah. The, like...
Strut out.
I would imagine it would be like the Tra-la-la song.
At this point, he can't help but stare.
Well, who could? I mean, you know.
Seductively, I climb up onto the bed and crawl towards him. Pop, here we go. Popping my gay ass out into the air as I go.
As opposed to a regular ass.
And then eventually positioning myself directly over his huge body.
I'd like to say this, that when you say something like, it's my gay eyes, it's my gay ass, it's kind of like using the word space in future, you know, in sci-fi. Well, I better go pick up the space phone. Okay. Sorry, guys, but it is.
I
better pick up the gay phone. I mean, it's like...
The gay phone, it doesn't ring, it goes, hi.
Hi.
Hi, got phone call, hi.
Hey, you got phone call.
Okay. Resume.
I take Colonel Peach's hooves and pull them above his head, controlling him completely as I make my way down his ripped chest and abs with a series of sensual kisses. Despite my newfound confidence, however, I find myself trembling with anticipation and fear. I know that it's Paulo who wants this, but I can't keep myself from imagining my lover watching over us, analyzing every move we make. Moments later, however, I feel that familiar familiar tingle deep within my ass as a reminder.
I totally read that as reindeer. Wow.
Oh my god.
I close my eyes and take a deep breath, then let go of any reservations I had left within me. Immediately, I reach down and take Colonel Peach's huge rod into my hand, aligning him with the puckered tightness of my gay asshole.
And once again, his space asshole. I mean, replace the word gay with space and hear how ridiculous that is.
The puckered tightness of my space asshole.
See? My space eyes.
My hungry eyes.
I'm gonna go pick up the space phone and eat my space lunch.
Look at these. Look at these with your perfect eyes.
Was that part of the book?
No. So, puckered tightness of my gay asshole.
Oh, fuck.
The colonel groans instinctively as I push down onto him, letting out a soft moan of my as the powerful beast slides up inside me, my asshole expanding to its limits in an effort to take his brutal insertion.
Yeah, wow, that's sexy. Insert me brutally, guys.
His presence fills me with a sensation that is familiar and warm, a distant memory that has been locked away until this very moment. I bite my lip instinctively and start to grind against him with firm, deep swoops of my hips. I'm not fully prepared for the long-forgotten sensation of being entered by a unicorn lover, and almost immediately I'm beside myself with pleasure, my body trembling and quaking as I ride him. It's as if all the sexual bliss that has been staving myself from...
It's the right word, but the wrong usage.
Yeah. Has been here the whole time, hiding away in some dark corner of my being and just waiting to be released by the right gay beast.
Apparently a unicorn, is it?
Yes.
Oh my god.
I pout loudly, repeating the word over and over again.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Colonel Peach is...
I'm done.
Colonel Peach... Colonel Peach...
I suddenly want a peach pie.
I'm so happy to have wine with me right now.
Colonel Peach's hooves are now on my hips, helping me pull me up and down across him in an incredible pulsing rhythm. I can feel all of his powerful strength through this minor touch. He's showing restraint, his body handling me firmly, but with care.
He has no opposable thumbs. How the hell can he hold him?
Who knows?
Let go!
I tell him.
Just pound me like my dead unicorn lover would.
How many do that? He's dead, so it'd be like...
And that does the trick. Suddenly, Colonel Peach is sitting up and flipping me over with his muscular unicorn legs, turning me around to that I am facing away from him on my hands and knees. I look back at him and smile. Then there's a loud crack as Colonel Peach slaps my ass with a hoof hard, and then he grabs me by the...
Wait a minute.
But you can't slap with a hoof.
No. This man would be dead by now.
Happen.
He then grabs me by the hips and pulls me back towards him with ease. He takes his cock and maneuvers it into the entrance of my anal tightness.
I'm going to use that and put on a business card.
I think that's how you should come on to someone next time. Excuse me.
My anal...
You like to touch my anal tightness.
I think we found the title of the episode.
Yeah.
The Entrance of My Anal Tightness.
I like this.
There's...
Here, give me your hand. I shall lead you to the entrance to my anal tightness.
Doctor, there seems to be a problem. I have anal tightener.
He takes his cock and maneuvers it into the entrance of my anal tightness. There is a fire in Colonel Peach's eyes as he thrusts into me, the massive rod filling my butthole entirely as I cry out with a yelp of pleasure. Colonel Peach wastes no time now, immediately getting to work as he rams my body from behind. I grip tightly onto the bed sheets in front of me, bracing myself against the Unicorn Colonel's powerful slams. There is an animalistic nature to his thrusting now.
An animalistic nature to his thrusting now? Well, it should be before.
More brazen than sexual, but the ghostly creature still knows exactly how to hit my prostate on the inside.
And burst it all to shit.
Somehow, this is even more of a turn-on than before. His gentlemanly demeanor finally cracking before my very eyes, the poker face slipping away and finally revealing the sexual beast underneath.
Harder!
I scream back at him.
No, no, it should be harder.
Harder!
I scream back at him. Never more turned on in my entire life.
Fuck me harder, like the little human twink that I am. I'm serious. Yes. Fuck me harder, like the little human twink that I am. Harder!
I really didn't know Roger was so whiny. God. How about you, little bitch?
Colonel Peach doesn't need to be told twice. Picking up speed until he is absolutely pummeling me with everything that he's got. Slamming my asshole from behind with gay, reckless abandon.
That killed you, didn't it?
I reach down and grab a hold of my cock, beating myself off furiously. Deep within my stomach, I can now feel...
How much more of this is there?
It's almost done.
Thank God.
Jesus, there's a lot set up.
Deep within my stomach, I can now feel the first beautiful sparks of orgasm beginning to fly.
No, that would be your stomach totally voiding itself of blood and stomach fluids because you got a horse dick in you.
Lighting a tiny fire that slowly but surely begins to creep its way out across my body. I can't help but start to tremble and quake at the as the sensation consumes me, filling me with a strange warmth from head to toe.
Harder!
Was that just an added little improvise that just seemed in the moment, or was that actually part of the book?
I improvised it.
The tremors of pleasant sensation keep coming in awesome waves, the space between them drawing shorter until finally it just becomes one giant ball of pleasure that envelopes my body. I clench my teeth tightly and let out a long hiss, frantically grasping at the last straws of reality before a powerful orgasm pushes me over the edge. I'm outside myself now. Looking down at my body as
you're inside out now.
Looking down at my body as I come harder.
By a horse, that's why.
Yes. Looking down at my body as I come harder than I ever have before. Jizz erupts from the head of my cup, splattering onto the bed sheets before me in a beautiful pattern of milky white. It's a satisfaction that can barely be described. A blinding fullness that consumes me perfectly. I throw my head back and let out a howl of ecstasy. Unable to contain all this sensation within. In this moment, I know that Paulo is with me, haunting my ass with Colonel Peach. I don't have long to mull this over, however, because seconds later, the Colonel is shaking as well, his massive unicorn body preparing for the orgasm of his own.
Well, nice knowing you, Roger. He's going to blow your fucking head off.
Here we go, kids. Come all over me,
I demand fiercely.
Shoot that load all over this handsome gay face of mine.
I'm sorry, he's going to drown, not get
Colonel Peach pulls
come
out.
Come all over me.
Colonel Peach pulls out and gives his cock three final pumps with his hand.
His hand.
Then grips tightly against the base.
How did they do that with whom?
I know.
How is this possible?
Then grips tightly against the base as a rope of hot jizz ejects out across me. It feels nice against my skin, playful almost. The ghostly unicorn throws his head back and neighs. His abs held firm as several more pumps of cum eject from his shaft and splatter across my chin.
Thank you.
I tell him when the spunk finally stops falling.
Thank you. Not like, thank you, or it just says, thank you. Thank
you. The unicorn looks down at me with a look of satisfaction plastered across his face. Mm-hmm. Then moments later, evaporates into nothing.
Like my dreams.
Oh my god.
Hold on.
Wow.
Knock, knock. I hope you found what you were looking for.
Melody tells me as I carry my bags out to the car. I smile.
I was hoping that Melody just like came in after all that. Would you need a hot towel, a little sugar?
Oh, I did actually.
The old woman is very pleased with his answer, and despite only knowing me for a day, gives me one final hug.
You're a very nice young man.
She informs me.
Thanks, Melody.
I tell her.
I hope that one day... Oh, no, hold on. Oh, she says this.
Yeah.
I hope that one day our paths will cross again.
The old woman says as she releases her grip and I climb into the driver's seat of my car. I look up at her.
Are you kidding me? I'll be back within the week. Really?
Melody asks, her eyes lighting up.
Just don't forget to put some more of that amazing soup.
As I drive away from the old manor, I catch a glimpse of two ghostly unicorns standing off at the edge of a nearby field, patiently awaiting my return. The end.
Well, that just happened.
So get ready for SassyCast 2.0 coming very, very soon. Until then, we will see you later.
Maybe you know who this is, don't you? It's a count. That's right, Count Floyd, and I'm not talking trash, baby. I really want you. I've got to have you, baby. You sometimes won't come across, but I still am going to treat you like a lady.
Treat me like a lady.
The way it's meant to be.
For all eternity.
Baby, you make me have those nocturnal emissions. Yeah. In fact, before I go to bed every night, I put on an emission control device. No, but seriously, baby, I crave you. And I'm going to treat you like a lady.
Treat me like a lady.
The way it's meant to be.
The way it's meant to be.
Yes, treat you like a lady.
Treat me like a lady.
You know, like Sandra Dee.
For all eternity.
Yeah, baby. You know, you got it. That's right, you really got it. You've got it, baby, and you gave it to me. That's right, last week, you gave me a good dose. And I can't even get rid of it, even with those new Wonder Drugs. That's a bad one, I'll tell you. It starts with an H. And I'm not talking about whooping cough either. You know, baby, but seriously, I'm gonna treat you like a lady.
Treat me like a lady.
Cause that's the way it's meant to be.
The way it's meant to be.
Treat you like a lady.
Treat me like a lady.
You know, like Brenda Lee.
For all eternity.
Oh, yeah, baby, you know, you do it to me. You do it to me every time. Yeah, baby. Oh. You know, I'll tell you something. You've got something special. Yeah, you and me, we go together like Sandler and Young. I'm Sandler and you're so very, very young. No, but I'm getting on with this romantical thing. Baby, you make my voice drop a lot. Tell you something, baby. I want you to quit playing with my emotions. That's right. Quit playing with my emotions, and if you're really going to play with anything, you gotta stop playing with my... No, no, really, we kid. Baby. I want you to go down for the count. Count Floyd, that is. What are you up there? Painting baby or what? Oh, this is the count. Swinging lots of...
Jackson's wax. Right.